Welcome to the Venture Mentality Podcast. We're bringing you the insights and interviews from top entrepreneurs and high performers on how to reach your goals and overcome your challenges. Hosted by 18-year-old high school student and entrepreneur, Jacob O'Connor. Now, let's get right into the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Jake O'Connor, and you're listening to the Venture Mentality Podcast. Today we have the creative strategist and founder of The New Hollywood, Ashwin Jacob, joining us. What's up, Ashwin?
Hey, dude. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Yeah, no problem, dude. I'm super stoked about this. So what just kind of to bring the audience up to where we are with what you're doing, what do you do now, and what are some big things that you've worked on in the past?
Cool. So right now I'm the host of the New Hollywood podcast. It's a top 20 podcast on Yahoo. So we're number 5 over there. We've charted in the top 20 on iTunes as well. We're on Spotify, YouTube, and it's a podcast about the dreamer that took the steps to make things happen and about the failures along that journey. For me, I started off as a kid from Boston, Massachusetts. I always wanted to be in entertainment. I saw faces on the screen that I felt like could be my friends. Because my parents were first-generation immigrants, and that's what I learned American culture was through TV and music. And it's been an uphill battle. Like, you know, racially I'm very different. My friends and family didn't really have connections in entertainment. And I ended up making the move with $500 and a leaking air mattress, and I ended up working with some amazing talent like NFL player Terrell Owens, Gabby Hanna of The Gabby Show, Jody Steele, who's a viral Facebook artist, Dominic DeAngelis, and working and consulting between tech and entertainment and fashion and strategy so that I could make an impact. And ultimately what I wanted to do was be that person that I never really had in my life. And that's kind of what the vehicle of New Hollywood has been. And it's also been really cool. Like, we've been able to partner because of my background in the event space to produce parties with Justin Combs for like Halloween Fright Night. I did a Young Band's album release party, which was a top 5 album on iTunes for a bit. And I think a lot of these blessings kind of came into my life through determination and sheer willpower to make something happen.
Right, right. That's awesome to hear all the things that you've been a part of. And that's quite the resume that you've already acquired at such a young age. And as typical, we always see the good side. But I know you're in agreement with this too. There's also the negative side, like the bad side, the struggles. So I was hoping you could kind of hit on those a little bit, just because, you know, A lot of times people look at entrepreneurship and kind of fame. They only see the fame side of it, all the good parts, but they don't necessarily see the bad struggles that you had to endure and things like that.
Yeah, dude, I'm a big fan of like the real side of entrepreneurship. It's not about the luxury watches, the fancy cars, these mega mansions, all the top line revenue that people talk about. When people talk about their company did $10 million worth of business, how much did you spend to make $10 million? And for me, dude, like, my parents don't come for money. Like, they're very hardworking people. My dad works at a bank. My mom works on an assembly line. And entertainment was extremely unrealistic. And my parents came to America so I could have a better life. And I pretty much did the exact opposite of having a better life. I chose the hardest possible life because as an entrepreneur, you get paid last. You make money when you kill. And you win. And it takes a while to get that win. Everybody talks about, you know, 6 months ago I was broke. Now I'm rich. It's not 6 months, it's years. Years of your lifetime learning and failing. I went to Bentley, which is a top 20 business school. I launched my first business, doing all sorts of weird stuff, dude, and event promotion and planning parties and doing some entertainment stuff within like the Playboy business, and then figuring out like ways to parlay what my job, what Playboy was, to do stuff on my own. And a lot of it, dude, is failure. Like, to do extra creative, like, I didn't have a big budget from Playboy, but I figured out a way to get creative and do some cool stuff out of my own pocket so that I could have a cool visual resume that had a big showcase win. And it's also, dude, I moved to LA with $500 and leaking air mattress, wake up in the middle of the night to pump more air in a room that's split with a friend. And I think that's what entrepreneurship really is about. It's not about what is your hopes and your dreams. It's about what you are willing to sacrifice to get where you want to ultimately be. How comfortable are you at failing? How comfortable are you being the poorest one of your friends? Because a lot of your friends are going to go to school, get a good paying job, have 4 weeks of vacation, and their life's going to look amazing. And that's amazing, dude. Like, that is a great way to live. And I think we're in a generation now of everyone thinks it's appropriate to be an entrepreneur and it's going to be a fast way to success. But realistically, entrepreneurship is for the unemployable. It's for people that cannot hold regular jobs. And it's also being extremely risk tolerant. I'm very comfortable living with less than so that I can own my time, because that's the only non-renewable resource in the world.
Wow, you hit on a lot of things there. That was really great. And one of the things you talked about was risk. And the way I look at it is you have to become very comfortable with being super uncomfortable. So that just becomes a new norm for you. And I think when a lot of people start their entrepreneurial journey, it's kind of, they've got this picture in the back of their head of the end result. And that's what they're thinking of. And then after a week, 2 weeks, maybe a month, you know, when things aren't working out and you're like, oh, well, I'm not where I wanted to be. A lot of people drop it. And I kind of call it the natural selection of entrepreneurship. It really had entrepreneurship in itself has a great system for weeding out the faint heart, the faint of heart. And so what you touched on with, you know, being lesser than maybe financially from your friends and having to go through the hard times and endure it instead of living the relaxed life, I think that that offers a greater reward for anyone who's willing to take the chance.
I agree, dude. I mean, for me, I think the sense of less than is something that I'm very honest about, is a lot of people deal with depression, anxiety, and a sense of a lack of self-worth. And I think a big part of it is due to us growing up in a culture of watching these amazing friendships on TV, where people spend every day with their friends, and we all feel lonely. Realistically, a lot of us have 3 to 5 really amazing friends. You just don't see them every day because you're all living your own lives. And I think that's why all of us feel lonelier than we do. And growing up as somebody that looked different racially than a lot of the people that I saw, it was tough. And I think that lack of self-wealth or self-love motivated me at the beginning of my career. And what I had to do over the past like 6 months, and a lot of what my message has been recently, is learning to invest in loving yourself, your failures, your weaknesses, your insecurities. Because you might not be, dude, like, you could be a great creative at your business. You could have amazing ideas. But you might not be the guy that sits there at the desk and figures out like the best ways to get tax cuts. I'm definitely not that guy, you know? But you need to hire someone that does that, or you need to outsource that function to a company that does that well. And it's embracing your weaknesses for what they are and still liking who you are and what you're doing and enjoying your journey. I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs get lost, is they don't enjoy the day-to-day. They're waiting for that opportunity to flash that bag of cash, show off the fancy car, they live the rest of their life in misery. And I don't think that's a healthy way to live. And that's something that I've been working towards every day, is living a happier day while still chasing my dreams.
Wow. That was really deep. I like that. And I totally agree with it. And you're completely right. Like, a lot of times I feel like it's overlooked, the aspect of mental health. Like, so much in the media is focused on physical health. Like, are you jacked, or like how to get abs in 7 days and stuff like that. But then a lot of times what we don't realize is the problem is internal. Like, how are you doing mentally? Like, we don't have like a 7 days and then all of a sudden you have a paradigm shift and you can look at things and be more grateful. And I think the fact that you are embracing the struggle is really just a testament to your perspective. And I think that is something major that's allowed you to be successful, just because of the fact that you can start from where you did and continue to grow and realize that maybe you're not at where you want to be, but you're able to look back from where you were to where you are and be grateful for that journey.
Dude, it's all progress. And a lot of people get stuck in, I need to accomplish this year or this week or this day. Time is a man-made construct. We came up with that concept. There's no such thing as like yesterday or tomorrow. We just have today in this hour. And that's the biggest blessing that you have, is that you woke up this morning, you can think clearly and you can see, you can move all of your limbs. That's a blessing more than a lot of people have. And I think a lot of times we get so focused on what other people are doing that we forget that, like, we just need to be doing to the best of our abilities and progressively getting better. And everything does take a sense of time and growth and development. And I think mental health physically also affects you, dude. If you're mentally not feeling well, or if you're not up to it, you should take a 10-minute break, meditate, pray, do some breathing exercise, whatever, or exercise, whatever works best for you, or a combo of all of those things, and get back to your center. Because if you sit at your desk for 3 hours and you're mentally stressed out about something going on in your personal life, you wasted 3 hours that you should have been working. But if you took 20 to 30 minutes to analyze what is happening, you're going to figure out what that root cause is. And in most cases, you're going to figure out one of two things. It's a problem that you can do something about, so don't worry about it. Or it's a problem you can't do anything about, so don't worry about it. And then secondly, dude, every relationship you have with any other human being is a relationship with yourself. And it ultimately comes down to your own perspective on how you like yourself and how you can accept failure for yourself. And realize that it's not an end destination. It's just part of your journey and embracing the lessons that you learn every day from it. Because with your first business, you're going to fail a lot of times. I still remember, dude, one of my first deals was a deal with a nightclub. I booked a playmate to show up. I'm 19 years old. I'm going to a nightclub and I'm bringing a Playboy centerfold.
So dude, life was great. I booked a Playboy centerfold to do an appearance and I thought I negotiated an amazing deal. I'm going to get 20%. That 20% I ended up getting was probably less than $300, if I recall correctly. And that was because I didn't specify what the 20% accounted for, how the money was being accounted, and they subtracted how much they paid the DJ, how much they had to pay out the promoters, other expenditures and other costs. And these were things that I should have discussed, but I was unaware of all of those factors. I knew that getting 20% off of a bar night was what the normal good deal looked like. I didn't understand those little simplicities. And anyone getting into any line of business, you're not going to know every little detail of how to do a deal correctly. So that's why I think it's really important to invest in coaches, mentors, and really do that right. And that's a big part of like what I do is I coach executives and people trying to get into business by sitting down and chatting with them about the root cause of their problem and driving deeper than what they think that quick win is. And they're investing into it because they've paid me a fee. So after you've paid, the fee and you're doing this coaching consult, you're invested in that conversation. You want to get your money's worth. So when I'm challenging you, as much as you don't want to hear that, oh, did you think about this? Or do you think of that? It's not a negative conversation. It's just touching on points of just years of experience doing different businesses. And I think that's something that everyone realistically needs to hear more of is that we don't know what we don't know and you're gonna fail. And that's not a bad thing because a couple of bad deals might teach you a new business that you should be in that can protect people. A lot of amazing businesses have came out of experiencing a business problem. If you had problems in the shipping industry and you're a buyer and you get into shipping and you create a solution for other buyers like that, you can relate to your customer because you understand that problem deeper than most people would. You know what the problems are. You know logistically what you need and you know how to make that a simpler process. If you're able to actually enact that and compete in the marketplace and develop exposure, you can do a great job. And I think that's what the fundamental truth of business is finding problems, creating their solutions. So even if you're in a business and you're experiencing failure today, that failure could lead you to your next business, which will make up for all the losses that you took on this one. And this is the other acceptable answer that no one else in the entrepreneur niche I know is really saying is, sometimes entrepreneurship is just not for you. You might not like that failure. You might have a family. You might want to be in a relationship and the person that you're with wants more stability and they suggest getting a job and you're comfortable with that and you feel ashamed of it. Get a job. Be happy because at the end of the day, the only person and people that you're accountable are the people that you choose to be accountable to. And ultimately, it's yourself, your partner, and in some cases, your family.
That was great. There's a lot of advice there. And I think there's definitely a learning curve with your 20% failure that you had there with the bar. So I thought that was neat for people to hear and that it's like a real thing that you're not going to just get all of these deals. You're not going to instantly be successful. There's a learning curve. And I'm a big believer that from failure, that's your greatest teacher. Like you learn the most from the times you failed. Like I bet the next time that you struck a deal, you thought twice to look at the terms of the deal and the negotiation that you were doing.
I did. And for a long time, I thought, oh, contracts are going to protect you, right? A lot of people invest in contracts. When I got into like the tech space, I realized that if you're meeting with someone that's powerful, that's already done some big things, you ask them to sign an NDA, they're going to be like, I don't want to sign an NDA. If you don't trust me, you shouldn't have me in the room. And to be honest, dude, if most people pitch me a business idea and they want me to sign an NDA off the bat and they don't have a like proof of concept or they haven't invested millions of dollars into that business, I don't want to entertain that conversation. I don't want to waste my time with that. You don't trust me. You're just looking to get something out of it. And it's not worthwhile. And secondly, it comes down to execution. But even with all the knowledge that I have, I've entered into contracts and agreements with companies. And sometimes I've had to fight to get my payment, or I've had to change the way that the payment terms are addressed. And I think that is something that you will always deal with in business. When you are the one that is dealing with the invoicing and the collections, you need to have a very clear process. You need to vet who you're doing business with and who's a good human being to do business with. You know, you can make people millions of dollars and they could only owe you hundreds of thousands of dollars for their millions, and they still might not pay you out. And I've experienced that. It's learning to be an adult about that and not just dwelling in the fact that you can't handle that, but focusing on what you can handle, how you handle it, and then the way and demeanor that you go about conducting your business or your recourse when things go wrong. And that tells a lot about who you are as a human being.
Right. You can only control yourself. And I think it's really important that to understand when things go wrong, you can go with them or you can go right. And so I wanted to backtrack a little bit. You touched earlier on a couple of things about stress and anxiety. And I wanted to ask you, how do you handle stress? Because I know for a lot of people, they're just kind of sitting there. They don't know how to handle stress. They just kind of wait for it to pass. I know that there's better ways to handle it than that.
So I'll be honest, dude. I thought, you know, a lot of people were like, if you make more money, you're going to upgrade your life. You can fix your problems with money. I found out that some things were better with money. Yeah, that's very true. A lot of problems you can fix with money, but the root cause of a lot of your problems can't be fixed with money. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe it's status. It's people knowing who I am. It's knowing the type of clients that I work with. I've worked with massive brands. I've worked with huge celebrities. I've held head of positions. I've held SVP positions. I've held founder positions. I've been the guy that everyone wanted to know or needed to know to get into some of the hardest events in the world. And that still didn't make me happy. So I had to focus on really getting to that root cause and doing that deep dive. And I think that's important for each one of you that's listening to this podcast to address earlier on in your life, if at all possible, is your self-love, your self-patience. I was very fortunate to make some friends that suggested breath work, which is an exercise of breathing that you practice how you breathe and how you control it. And you practice some meditation and really dwelling on your own thoughts. And, you know, my roommate suggested an app called Calm, which is an amazing way to start your day. You can do a daily meditation about just life, anything from stress, anxiety, eating habits, working out, getting more work done, things to help you sleep. And it's just figuring out what exactly is right for you. I like working out sometimes if I'm anxious or angry. I think working out gets rid of some cathartic energy, and it just makes you a little bit more active and happier. Genuinely connecting with people that you like, putting your phone away, having a coffee or tea with someone that you enjoy spending time with, and just talking about life, what motivates you, and like talking through your problem, like verbally getting out what's bothering you. Sometimes you can solve your own problem. You don't need another person's advice. You just need to talk it out, hear yourself say it, and then just get it off your chest to another human being. Sometimes if you just say, hey, this is really pissing me off, and you verbally just hear it yourself, you can feel better. We're looking at yourself in the mirror and having a conversation. I recently got in contact with someone that I'm meeting up with later this week, but he teaches people about like laughter therapy, focusing on laughing things off and just making fun of the simplicities of things. And I think that's also really important, is no problem is really that deep. You know, in most cases, you're going to get over it.
I read somewhere to go with that laughter therapy, and it was a very interesting study. It was pretty sure it was at USC. They did a study where they took 30 people with depression, and they said, "All right, we're going to try out this new experiment." And they put them in front of a mirror every day for, I don't remember how long the time period was, but they challenged them just to look into the mirror and to smile. And they had to smile for like a minute straight. And after the 30 days, they found that some astounding percentage of these people were not depressed anymore. And so I think a lot of it is just coming, when you look in that mirror, I think that you start to accept what you see. You start to focus on the positives of what you're seeing. And then plus the physical act of smiling, that the physical act releases energy and it makes you feel better. That's why a lot of people turn to working out whenever they're depressed, because when you're physically moving, you're happy. They just coincide together. So I thought that was very unique, and I completely agree with everything that you had to say too. And then one last thing I want to share on the topic was I was interviewing Joel Brown from the Addicted to Success a couple weeks ago, and I'd asked him a question similar to this, and he told me a quote that kind of struck me, and it said, "The pages will always listen." And he was talking about journaling. So when you have an open blank page in a journal, you start to write out your feelings, like you're going to feel better because in your mind, the pages are listening to you. Like you're just kind of venting, you're letting it out in a healthy way.
I think that's super big, dude. Like you have to be vulnerable. And I think that's something in society that we're all taught, and especially as men, we're taught that vulnerability is a negative trait. Mm-hmm. But that's what's going to close you more deals, being vulnerable about your truth. If you're honest with your clients, if you're honest with the people that work for you about what you're able to do, what you're not able to do, and what you need their help to do, people are more willing to help you out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of those things we need to just understand and be better at, is being gentler in our society, dude.
I think the connotation of strength for a lot of people is the big, strong guy with the blank face who's not showing any emotions. But to me, strength is a strong person is someone who's willing to make themselves vulnerable and not care what other people think. I think that's a truly strong person because you know that they're comfortable not hiding who they are.
100%. You have to be your true self, expose your true self, and put your vulnerability out there.
Mm-hmm. So to segue into my next topic, I started this podcast to kind of extract the wisdom from people. I wanted to build connections. I wanted to help young entrepreneurs, help people that are struggling physically or mentally. I wanted to help people. And another thing for me was building relationships. So I wanted to talk to you about your opinion on the importance of networking.
So I think networking is important, but it's doing it within a way that you are not over networking. People hate when people are overly networking. When it's a set script, it's monotonous and it's robotical. I hate when I go to an event, a business thing, or just in any social setting when someone is just trying to do a deal off the bat. If you meet me and within 5 minutes you're trying to pitch a deal, I hate you. Like, you're really ruining my vibe. Like, I was actually at a business event, and I'll leave it anonymous. I'll leave out the person's name. But this one person got introduced to me via text by a friend. Starts pitching me on a lot of things before even, like, hopping on the phone with me. And wants me to do things which are going to take time or energy out of my day without like trying to like invest into what makes sense or what I'm looking for at all. No primer. They're just going straight into what they need me to do. It's a cool, let's chat. No response. I'm too busy to chat. They run into me at the physical event, and then I am getting there. It's my third event of the day. I've been bouncing around. I had a long night the night before doing some appearances with clients, and I was starving. I literally just had a bottle of water. It's in an overheated room, and I was about to go get food. I need you to meet this person. This is the person I need you to do this thing with. I'm like, I'm hungry. And they're like, no, it'll just take a couple minutes and then we can like film it right now. I'm like, and then you can post it. And I'm like, you need my consent. You're asking me to promote something and someone that I have no idea anything about. And you're going about it in a way that's offensive to me. And then thirdly, like, dude, like my business is celebrities, influencers, a lot of stuff in the entertainment space, a lot of brand partnerships. It's understanding like what my background is. So if you came up to me and you told me, hey, I want to be the person that you go to book celebrities or influencers for whatever deals you're working on, I'm the wrong person to talk to because I'm more on the celebrity and the influencer side than I am on the brand side. Brands do hire me to work with the influencer, but I'm not the person that's like subbing that out to different agencies. My agency handles both sides of it. We handle the brand and we handle the client. Not the best person to work with if that's your business. This person then proceeds, after this second attempt of getting to do something with me, to pitch me on the value of influencer marketing, which is something that I'm very proficient in. I was a VP of talent and brand for a couple of companies, focused on brand partnerships with influencers and celebrities. And they pitched me people that I worked with, that I managed, that I knew, that were like really good friends of mine, and they made a really bad impression. And guess what? The story gets worse. They pitched me four more times that day with three different friends doing the same pitch that didn't work. So don't be that person. And when you are networking, when you go to a business conference, this is one of the talks I like to get booked for, companies or with individuals. What I coach her on specifically is relationship management. Since I moved to LA with no relationships, $500, and just a dream to make it. Be your true self. Ask questions to understand who you're talking to, and worry about the people that are at your level. Don't worry about the speaker on the stage. Everyone is so focused on trying to speak to the speaker on the stage that they neglect the people that are next to them. The people that are next to you could be business partners. They could be advisors. They might even be more established, more credible, and more epic than every single person on that stage. So I actually make it a point at any business conference that I get booked at to facilitate introductions like that. And I make a point of it. I let people know, this is someone that I don't know. I met them at this conference. This is the thing that they do, and this is the thing that they're looking for. You two can help each other. Or it might be a one-way thing. And then that person that knows that they're getting help from that other person knows somebody that can help the person with the thing that they're looking for. It's broadcasting what you need and what you are able to provide to others. And that is the best way to network, is lead with value. Focus on what you can do, and then also be honest about what you need. What help do you need? What advice do you need? What are you not fully sure about? Because not knowing an answer isn't wrong. It's just part of your journey. Unless you ask that question, you're never going to know the answer.
I love that. That's really great. I hope that people listening to this can take something away from that. And you touched on it a little bit, but I was hoping you could kind of take us back through your company, New Hollywood, what exactly it does and what it is.
So New Hollywood does a lot of different things. Originally, it was meant to be a talent management company. That is the original background that I started off in. Working with talent, focused on strategy, doing some of the marketing deals, helping with social media, growth, creative, optimization. I became a strategic consultancy. So I work with brands as well as celebrities on what is their strategy, what are they doing, like what does day-to-day look like, improvement, what can make them happier. And then it also is a lot of coaching. I coach young entrepreneurs, people that aspire to be entrepreneurs, and just regular people trying to be happier or improve their business on ways to get better. And that's one of the things that makes me the happiest. And it's also the business that handles the booking appearances for my speaking or my appearing fees or consultations for companies around better relationship management and really optimizing your company's culture. Because I think that's a very, very important thing that people never really invest into, is improving themselves, improving the culture of their organization, and teaching their people how to build better quality relationships. Not only with clients and customers, but with each other and management.
I love that. I think that personal development and coaching, the kind of stuff that I'm hearing that your company is doing, I feel like a lot of people don't realize the importance in that. And it's definitely very important.
It's a big value add. And I think the unusual part that we're able to provide that's different is you can see the type of clients that I've worked with, both on the brand and the talent side. And then I'm also very open about like my personal journey in entrepreneurship, running these businesses, being a senior executive, and understanding the stress that goes into it. I think a lot of times people try to hide the fact that they've experienced those problems themselves. Being honest and being a human being and knowing that I've also gone through a lot of these problems myself and sharing those failures is the way that I can help you avoid them for yourself.
Man, I really appreciate how genuine you're being, and I know that's going to resonate a lot more with the audience. Where can we find you, Ashwin?
So my podcast is on iTunes. It's just New Hollywood. It's on Spotify. It's on YouTube. If you do check it out, please rate it, share it with your friends. We have a new filter that got released on Instagram. So if you go to New Hollywood, you click on that smiley emoji, you can use that filter, which is a really cool augmented reality. Puts you in the Hollywood Hills, gives you a microphone, and smooths out your skin. Connect with me on Instagram at Ashwin Jacob. Add me on Facebook at Ashwin Jacob. And my email is Ashwin, A-S-H-W-I-N, at New, N-E-W, Hollywood, HOLLYWOOD.BIZ. And if there's anything that I can do, if someone needs a coach, please reach out. I'd love to figure out something. Or if you're a company that needs a strategic consult or someone that's producing an event and needs speakers that you're looking for, I would love to get involved. And I hope that this brought some value to your audience, dude. And I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Yeah, sweet. I've got one more question before we go. But first, a little bit of background. So when you die, you know, the only thing that matters is the difference that you made while you were on this earth, you know, how you impacted people. So with that being said, what do you want your impact to be? Like, what difference do you want to have made?
I love this question, dude. So I live my life based on three guiding principles, which are influence, impact, and legacy. What I'm doing right now is I'm building influence so that more people know about what I'm doing, know about my story. And I'm sharing both my successes, but more importantly, the failures, my fallibilities, what makes me a human being, to drive impact. Impact for me is the people that I've mentored, the people that I've coached, the clients that I've worked with, seeing that result come to life, seeing films come out, seeing the creative of these marketing campaigns work, watch an entrepreneur going from somebody that is staying on my couch or struggling to like get started to someone that is staying in a mega mansion when they come to visit me the next time or in a couple of years in Los Angeles. I love watching and seeing other people grow. The more you invest in other people is what you do for people that cannot do something for you. Some of the people that I helped out before I got into the coaching business were people that didn't really have the ability to help me with where they were at in their career. I never expected them to be able to do that. I just wanted to help them because it was in my nature to be a nice human being, to care about others and want to see them succeed with whatever their dream was. And when I launched that journey into being a personal brand myself, building out the exposure and starting from scratch again with Hollywood after having successful companies, a lot of those people that I helped out came back into my life. And having gratitude for that, man, because some people do forget, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but being grateful and being able to make a difference in those lives is important. And with me, with the New Hollywood podcast and all the stuff that I'm doing in the branding space and being an ambassador for brands, it's about making that positive impact that makes someone smile, that makes someone take that risk on themselves. And if someone's taking that risk and they're realizing that entrepreneurship or being the face of their brand is not for them and they want to work a regular life and being the person that tells them that's okay, that makes me happy too. I think it's just doing what is right for you is the most important thing for me with every relationship of every person that I come into contact with, any follower that I haven't met, or even just people that, you know, are mild acquaintances that, you know, you briefly pass, because every person that you touch in some capacity is affected by the energy that you put out into this universe. And that's the only thing that you can't control is your behaviors, your energies, and the vibrations that you bring to things.